Good morning. Well, it's good to see that so many of you made it out in spite of the showers. And a special welcome for those of you that might be visitors, and also to those that will join us on air. So we pray that this day will be a blessing to you. This past Thursday was Ascension Day, the day the church marked to remember that Jesus, after he died and rose again, that first Easter, ascended up to heaven. We worship a great and wonderful Savior. He ascended in victory and bids us to come. Let us rejoice and encourage one another. As we read in Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And we all appreciate uplifting words of encouragement. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your forgiveness and grace, and with your ascension, eternal hope in eternity. Lord, receive our worship in song, and may the message this morning bring us closer in fellowship with you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And Heather will lead us in worship and song.
Good morning. Lovely faces this morning. I hope that you can worship with me this morning. I picked some newer songs, and I know that it is sometimes a little bit harder to worship when the songs are new. I didn't realize it was new, so sorry about that one. This first one, though, is definitely new, but it's quite straightforward, so I think we'll sing the verse a few times until we feel comfortable with it, and then we'll move to the chorus. The words in the bulletin look very complicated. Just follow the words on the screen. I think that will be easiest. Why don't you stand if you're able? You have the sweetest name. You are my soul's refrain. I worship you. That's the whole verse. You have the sweetest name. You are my soul's refrain. I worship you. Sing it again. You have the sweetest name. You are my soul's refrain. I worship you. You have the sweetest name. You are my soul's refrain. I worship you. You have the sweetest name. You are my soul's refrain. I worship you. Told you it wasn't that hard. So the next part, if you're using your bulletin, we'll go to the part labeled bridge. If you're looking at the screen, just the words on the screen.
I will sing of how you've drawn me out of darkness into glory. I will sing.
You have the sweetest name.
You have the sweetest name. You are my soul's refrain. I worship you. You have the sweetest name. You are my soul's refrain. I worship you.
I will sing.
I will sing of how you've drawn me out of darkness into glory. I will sing of how you've drawn me out of darkness all the way home. I will sing of how you've drawn me out of darkness into glory. I will sing. The sweetest name, you are my soul's refrain. I worship you. You have the sweetest name, you are my soul's refrain. I worship you. Into glory, I will sing of how you've drawn me out of darkness all the way home. You have the sweetest name. You are my soul's refrain. I worship you. You have the sweetest name. You are my soul's refrain. I worship you.
The next song is mostly familiar. There's probably also one or two new parts in there. Crown him.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for me, and hail him as thy matchless king throughout eternity.
And sing majesty.
Majesty, Lord of all, let every throne before him fall, the King of Kings, oh come adore our God who reigns forevermore.
Can we try that again?
Majesty, Lord.
Crown him the Lord of life.
Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing.
Try try Majesty again.
Majesty, Lord of all, let every throne before him fall. The King of kings, oh come adore our God who reigns forevermore.
All hail, Redeemer.
All hail, Redeemer, hail, for he has died for me. His praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for he has died for me. His praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for he has died for me.
I love those words. More than the words, I love the truth behind them. Wow. The next song, I Thought We Knew, it's actually the last song in your bulletin, His Mercy Is More. And then Brad and I were looking at the songs on the computer this morning, and we realized it's not in there. So I hope you know this one, because I'm a little bit overwhelmed right now. So we'll see if I can sing it, or maybe I'll just play. Praise the Lord. You can be seated if you would like for this next song.
What love could remember, no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea with our bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more.
Sing that again.
What love could remember, no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more.
What patience.
What patience would wait as we constantly roam. What Father so tender is calling us home. He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. His mercy is more, stronger than darkness, our sins they are many, His mercy is
What riches?
What riches of kindness He lavished on us. His blood was the payment, His life was the cost. We stood neath a debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more, stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more.
Thank you, Heather. Yes, our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. How wonderful. Let's take our bulletin. There are a lot of announcements in there, but I would like to highlight just a few. In Boundary Trails, there is Henry Terp Thiessen. And this is not in the announcements, but Gatha Wall is in Swan Lake Lorne Memorial Hospital, and she's waiting for placement in Salem. She's doing well, and she is open for visitors. So take note of that. Our missionaries of the week are Preston and Myra Wheeler. And next Sunday, June the 5th, is our church family picnic. The worship service will start at 10:30 a.m. in the Winkler Park, which is going to be next to the swimming pool in that area. And lunch will be served. In regards to our church planning, the church sanctuary will remain open between 8 and 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, and for you to spend some time alone in prayer. The suggestion box has been removed, and we thank you to all of those of you that took the time to share your thoughts. Thank you. VBS, Vocational Bible School, is planned to take place in our church early August. And if you're interested to volunteer to help, please contact Anna Friesen. And Jessica Siemens, who is attending the Pembina Valley Camp, is offering to connect us to their monthly newsletter reporting on the camp life. To register, please leave your name and email address on the sign-up sheet in the foyer. Then on page 3, ministerial is still looking for more people from our congregation to assist in deacons in visitations. A commitment to do a visit per month would be wonderful. Please contact one of the deacons if you are willing. Then on to page 4. Today is set aside as a day of prayer for camps. Pray for those serving on the front lines of Bible camps and for the children and youth who might begin their faith journey with Jesus there. And of special note, Pastor Victor and Elaine Engbrecht are celebrating their 36th anniversary, June 1st. And please take note. Please take note of other announcements on your own. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that you are always near and that you hear us. Receive our praises in music and song. Today we also bring before you Henry Thiessen in Boundary Trails. May your hand of healing and comfort be upon him. Missionaries Preston and Myra face numerous challenges as they seek to share the wonders and blessings in store in a relationship with you. Give them guidance and the courage to endure. Lord, we have set aside this day to bring before you the Bible Camps ministry. We pray that you inspire the workers, give them guidance as they serve the many children and young people that are able to attend a Bible camp. Open their young hearts and minds to grow in faith, in a faith journey with you. Lord, we continue to seek your direction for the future of this church. We pray that you give us the desire for unity with each other as we share our thoughts. Grant us wisdom as we deliberate. We thank you for your promise to grant wisdom to those who ask. Today, as we receive the message on taming our tongue, we ask that you bless Pastor Dean with the words for the message and open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. We pray all this in your name. Amen. And would the ushers please come and receive the offering while Heather provides us with music in worship. And following will be Mark with scripture reading.
Okay, our passage of scripture will be taken from James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. These are the very words of God.
Good morning. Last year it was dry. This year the Lord has sent rain, and we are very thankful. Even this morning, this little shower is all welcome, and we are glad that the Lord blesses. If he withholds his hands, we can do nothing. King Solomon in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 tells us the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And then James states in chapter 3, verses 7 through 8, what we have already have read or heard being read. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. In the last message, we looked at the tongue as a reflection of the heart and its potential to both speak good and evil and to destroy. However, Jeremiah describes the heart for us in chapter 19, verse 9, a familiar verse to all of us. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? If there's anyone who cannot, is there anyone who can understand the heart? When my cousin's little boy was 4 years old, he said to his mom one day, he said, "Mommy, why do I end up doing bad things when I want to do only good things? Why do I end up doing bad things when I only want to do good things?" Even as a child, he knew that there was a battle raging on the inside. As believers, that is what we struggle with at some times in our lives, and still to this very day. The Apostle Paul certainly understood what it was like, because he wrote to the Roman church, and this is what he said in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 20. He says, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 20. He says this, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, But it is the sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me. That is my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not good, is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Close quote. The portion of scriptures continues, or pardon me, this portion of scripture continuously to be vigorously debated, whether Paul's describing the non-Christian experience or he is describing the Christian's experience. I believe Paul is describing the believer's experience here because of two things. First, he writes in the present tense, and secondly, every believer struggles with the flesh. As long as we live down here, we struggle with the flesh and fighting sin. Our fight with the flesh and sin will be taken away in heaven. But until then, God has promised us his strength when we place our faith complete trust in him. As believers, we have all spoken and done things contrary to the word of God. In his commentary, George M. Stulloch, a pastor, tells about a personal experience in relations to James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, as he was writing on it within his commentary. And he writes in it, and this is what he says. He says, years ago, I visited a college friend at his home. On campus, we had enjoyed a significant sharing of personal values and philosophies, much of it through discussion of literature, history, and music. When we met at his home, he wanted me to hear a certain Mahler's symphony that expressed some of his aspirations towards the attainment of love and peace. We listened together in silent pleasure, caught up in the music of our high ideals, until at a particular moving point in the symphony, my friend's mother broke in by entering the room and asked a mundane question at that time about supper. Her innocent interruption received a fierce verbal rebuke from her son. How dare she spoil the exquisite music? Startled and embarrassed, she retreated from the room, but the damage to our mood had been done. The damage to our illusions had also been done. My friend and I talked about the incident. What good were ideals of love and aspiration if we could not control our tongues to give respect to someone else, which he failed that day was to give respect to his mother? This spirituality was only a feeling of illusion. If it could not purify our behavior in practical matter and what we said. Close quote. Stulloch realized that the good ideal of love and aspirations do not matter if we do not give respect to those who we say we love. In the same way, we have all said things that were out of character for a Christian to say. We have let it roll off our tongues, only to realize later it was wrong. Since we have this inclination and bent towards sin, we fight this in all avenues of our life, and especially in regards to the tongue. This morning in part two of the message, How to Tame or Control the Tongue, we want to take a look at the last two points. The first two points of last week, we said, how to tame the tongue? Number one, by realizing we will be held accountable for our words. We must give things a second thought. We must realize each of us will stand before the Lord. We will give an account for every word that has been spoken. Secondly, how to tame the tongue? By observing the massive good or massive destruction left behind by such a small member. Yes, that is so true. Such a small member can leave so many disarrayed and such an atmosphere that has that is destroyed just because of one small tongue. So the third way on how to tame and control the tongue, number three, by admitting we are powerless to change without the Lord's help, verses 7 through 3. How to tame the tongue? By admitting we are powerless to control by admitting we are powerless to change without the Lord's help. Listen as I read verse 7 again and 8. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no one can tame the tongue. No one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Man has tremendous power over animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures. He certainly does. He can take these creatures and domesticate them for the use of good. These animals can be trained to produce food, provide travel, heat buildings from their body heat, and you would know that many people who used to live and they had no heat, they would live in a building either with the barn being below them or the barn being beside them. The animals can be used to heat buildings themselves. They provide security, they provide companionship, and they bring entertainment. God gave man a tremendous responsibility when he created them in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And it says this, God blessed them, man, meaning man, and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then David reiterates this in Psalm chapter 8, verses 6 through 8. Listen to what he says. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea, close quote. According to verse 4 of James chapter 3, man also has been blessed with the responsibility of technology. Therefore, man can build large ships and steer them with just a small rudder. However, notice that although man can rule, tame, and dominate the world's creatures and technology, he cannot tame the tongue. He cannot tame the tongue. Why is that? The answer is that all men are fallen creatures. Therefore, he is dependent on God for his salvation and his daily walk. We cannot control our tongues. We can control other things, and we're in desperate need of God in our lives. According to verse 8, the tongue is a restless evil full of deadly poison. What a description. In other words, it is very volatile, and it can be sparked and set on fire by any circumstance. No one can control their tongues 100% of the time, because no one is perfect, according to verse 2. Remember, verse 2 tells us we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. That is why we so desperately need the Lord. We desperately need him. On one of the primary steps on how to tame and control the tongue is by admitting we are powerless to change it. We are powerless in our own strength to change it. The scripture says it is full of deadly poison. And no matter how hard we try, we poison others, including ourselves. Now we come to the fourth and last step on how to tame the tongue. Number four, by recognizing that praising God and cursing our brothers are incompatible. We control the tongue by recognizing that praising God and cursing our brothers are incompatible, verses 9 through 12. Listen to 9 and 10 as I read it again. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse man who've been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brother, this should not be. Close quote. If you have your Bibles, I want you to notice the transition that takes place between verses 2 and verse 9. There is a transition that James uses here. In verse 2, James uses the first personal plural, we. The first personal plural, we. We all stumble in many ways. Who? We. No one is exempt. We have all said things that we should not have said. We have all hurt others. Then in verse 3 to 8, James goes on to explain the evil of the tongue. When he gets to verse 9, he uses the word we again, and he includes himself in what is happening in the body. Because everyone is on the same level. We all have a sinful nature. We all have a desire to do good. We also have a pull to do evil. And it will be with us until one day we stand before God and are glorified. But we are called to fight against this. James says, with the tongue, we, in verse 9, with the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse man who have been made in God's likeness. James is pointing out to us that something is not right here. There is something that is wrong. How can we praise God, our Lord and our Father, and at the same time curse men who have been made in the image of God, who have been made in the likeness of God? We insult others, we talk behind their backs, we slander, we gossip, and put others down with our tongues. And none of us are guiltless. None of us. In verse 9, James addresses them by calling them brothers. He addresses them gently. He says, my brothers, this should not be. No matter what happens to us, we are never to lash out at others with the use of our tongues. We are never to lash out. We must resist the temptation to get even. We must not tolerate praising God and cursing our fellow man. The mixture of good and evil as a way of life. We can't tolerate that. How can we have good and evil in our lives? How can they be parallel? We should never cry for justice. If justice is leveled out, none of us would be found guiltless, and none of us would be left standing. Instead, we are most like Jesus when he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. In his letter to the church, the Apostle Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 22 and 23. Of Jesus, he committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. And when they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. We cannot judge one another, but God will judge us one day. It is before him we stand, and it is before him we give an account. Now James goes on to say in verse 11 and 12, and he gives two illustrations on how incompatible is praising God and cursing our fellow man. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? What's the answer? No. My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? What's the answer? No, it can't be. Neither can salt spring water produce fresh water. It can't. In these illustrations, James points out clearly that one cannot have two different things coming from the same source. You can't. Salt water and fresh water cannot come out of the same conduit. It is impossible. It doesn't happen. It's either salt water or it's fresh water. And a fig tree cannot bear olives or grapes. Therefore, we cannot praise God one moment and then slander and speak evil of our brother. It is inconsistent, it is illogical, and it doesn't make sense. So how are we to rectify this? And that is the question. No one can tame the tongue, and only God can tame us. And only when we lay ourselves out before the Lord and we put everything before Him. How to tame the tongue? Number one, by realizing we will be held accountable for our words. There is a warning that is given to us by James. Number two, how can we tame the tongue? By observing the massive good or massive destructions left behind by such a small member. Look around and see what the tongue has done to others in the past, and then think twice before you speak. How can we tame the tongue? Number three, by admitting we are powerless to change without the Lord's help. We can't do it. We cannot do it. As believers, we must come before the Lord. We must pray and ask Him, Lord, help me to think before I speak. And when I speak, help me to say things in the proper way. And so often we just spurt it out and we haven't thought it out, only to walk away and to regret what we have said. And in the meantime, we leave a pile of shambles behind. How to tame and control the tongue? How to tame and have it under control? By recognizing that praising God and cursing our brothers are incompatible. They are incompatible. It doesn't make sense. It's illogical. I close with this quote from D.A. Carson, the one that is found in your bulletin. He says this, and he's speaking of 1 John when he quote when he has written this. When people near life's end, their words often become fewer and to the point. Such an approach described 1 John. May we also learn to choose our words carefully and speak the truth in love with passion as John has done for us. As we go from here, let us remember and be in prayer that what we say affect others. Let us remember to be in prayer, to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord at all times. Let us remember, especially when we are failing, that we pray about it and we ask other people to pray for us, that we do not do those things. Only as we lay ourselves before the Lord will we be able to control our tongue. It is a spiritual aspect that cannot be controlled by the physical or by the mental. It must come from the Lord as we submit to Him.
The last song that we'll sing this morning is Jesus Paid It All Why don't you stand if you're able?
I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all." Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 15, verses 5 through 6, he says, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Heavenly Father, as we pause before you, we realize that in ourselves we are nothing. And we need your strength. We need your spirit and your power to bring purity into our lives. We need your strength and your power to speak correctly, to say words that are encouragement and that will build up the body and one another. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that as we go from this building, we would place your word before us. And Lord, we would pray fervently that you would work within ourselves and within the church. And now, Heavenly Father, as we go our separate ways, may you go with us with your strength and your power. For this we pray in Christ's name. Amen. And you may go in his peace.